Well, it's a difficult weekend to try and decipher with the barrier draws in the All-Star Mile, the best horses coming together at Flemington, and then the wet and an intriguing Golden Slipper where there just hasn't been a standout two-year-old for the entire season. What do we do with Coolin Gatta first up since her win in the Magic Millions on a heavy track? Well, Dan O'Sullivan, we're going to bring in the big guns to try and help us find the winners. And Daniel O'Sullivan joins us. Daniel, good morning. Thank you for your time. How are you?
Yeah, good day, Matt. Really well, thanks.
It is a tough couple of features to try and get your head around. Let's start with the Sepult Wines All-Star Mile. And post-barrier draw, 15 Zaki, 1 I'm Thunderstruck. Inspirational Girl has drawn beautifully in barrier 4. The major contenders, what's your ratings telling you as to the horse to beat on Saturday?
Look, I don't think there's any doubt that Zaki's the horse to beat on talent at Lakes Brage. One of the things I do when I'm first looking at a race around ratings is look at the level of performance I think will be needed to win a race. And we can do that just by looking at the recent form of horses, the peak form, and just understanding that even if you don't know which horse might run to their best figure or improve, that there's always a good chance that at least a couple will. So in the All-Star Mile, I'm sort of pitching the race around 101.5, 102. The significance of that is that Zaki ran better than that level last start. He was beaten by Inspirational Girl, but that race wasn't at weight for age, whereas this is. So he brings 102.5 at his last start, and more importantly, he's got 5 runs in the past between 103.5 and 104.5, which gives him a clear talent edge over the rest of the opposition in this race. So there's no doubt that he's a justified favourite for the race. He's drawn wide. That could go one or two ways for him. From a betting point of view, I rarely worry about barriers unless there's a really compelling case that it's a problem, because the market typically pays attention to those things and provides more than fair sort of compensation. So, yeah, I think on talent and even taking into account the risk, he's definitely a valid favourite.
340 around the right mark, do you think?
I don't think it's terrible odds. I don't think they're giving anything away. It's probably close enough. I haven't really, you know, finalised my sort of pricing on the race. There are a couple of horses I think are sort of well under the odds, like Pinstripe. I think he's priced as if he won the Australian Guineas last start, and I don't think you can say that with any certainty at all. He was very unlucky, of course. But, you know, one of the things about horses that are held up like that powering home in the last 100 is we often assume that if they were clear at the 400, they would have sustained that same type of finishing burst, which is not actually correct, because if he'd spent more energy from the 400 to 100, then he's not finishing off with that same type of speed. So I don't know how far he would have been beaten in that race, but I think he's been priced like he actually won that race, and as I said, I think that's far from a guarantee. I'm Thunderstruck, an interesting runner. He's very best ratings at weight for age. Look, only put him 101, 102. So, you know, he's been well below that in 2 runs so far. So if you're backing him, you're kind of, I guess, assuming or speculating that he's going to improve sort of 2 to 2.5 lengths on what he's done this preparation. And even if he reaches those peak levels, it only puts him sort of in the mix with quite a few other horses that are capable of running to that level on their best form. That's an interesting question whether, you know, if you're happy to take around $6 for a horse that needs to improve a couple of lengths and that only just sort of puts him in the sort of mix. If you compare him to, say, a mare like Safane, who at weight for age, there's a number of ratings that could win this race. Perhaps consistency is, I wouldn't say she's an inconsistent mare, but she, you know, form, her ratings have sort of been a little bit up and down. So she was really good first up, winning the All, which has proven to be a strong form race. She regressed a little bit without an obvious excuse in the futurity. But look, there's no doubt that on her biggest, better ratings, she's got 102.5, 103, 103.5, is more than capable of sort of winning that race. And she's a huge price in the market, around $13, $15, yeah, something like that. If you just draw a comparison between her and Time Thunderstruck, she was only 0.8 behind him in the Surak, and she needs an 8 kilos better for that run. And you know, that was on Thunderstruck at his best. It was also Tefano close to her best. As I said, there's an 8 kilo swing there. So on that basis, you have to look at her with some interest in the race as well.
And just briefly, do you give the three-year-olds, you mentioned Pinstriped, a chance to win the race with Lightsaber as well?
And every horse has a chance, I guess, Michael. It's a matter of what chance. But, yeah, I think, you know, the three-year-olds are sort of long shot.
Yep.
Captivant's an interesting runner because his performance in the Caulfield Guineas behind Animo would go extremely close in this race. It's 102 rating. He's obviously well below that in the Australian Guineas. He sort of caught a bit of a bump probably at a critical time and he was looking to sort of build momentum. I don't think it was a total forgive, but he's at least a horse that has shown the talent that could sort of put him in the finish. So if there was a three-year-old who is somewhere in the finish, I would think he's more likely than the others, to be completely honest.
Gee, this Golden Slipper is like a Rubik's Cube. How do we put it together? Because Coolangatta, she's already easing out to 480, and I'd imagine that'll continue if we get a really heavy track on Saturday. From your ratings point of view, and with a potential heavy 8, 9 or 10 on Saturday, who are you coming up with as the horse to beat in the Slipper?
Look, it is. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's so open and confusing. I mean, the standout feature of this year, both in Melbourne and Sydney, to be honest, is it's a weak two-year-old season by historical standards. One measure of that, normally going into a Golden Slipper, the last 5 years, I have between 5 and 7 horses coming off a rating of 97.5 or more. This year, there's only one horse. That's Coolangatta. So it does lack depth at the top level. I think what that does is just makes it more confusing and more open, especially when you throw in the wet track. Coolangatta's definitely got the best rating profile, but I think it's well reported that that's not the preferred surface. Similar for Russian Conquest, who was close up behind Coolangatta in the Magic Millions, and then looked like when she had her last run at Randwick, looked like she was really travelling well into the race behind Seven Bales, but then just didn't let down on the heavy ground. So that's also a query. Look, the horse I'll probably come back to if the track is going to be sort of touching that heavy rain would be She's Extreme. I backed her after the win last Saturday. She's one of the few 2-year-olds in these lead-up races that has put what I'd call at least a genuine group class performance or rating down on the track. Most of the others have been comfortably below that level, especially the colt. That's the other standout note for this season is that in Sydney, the fillies have been consistently stronger than the colt, especially when we look on the clock. The past three Saturdays in Sydney where we've had the two divisions to compare, the fillies have been clearly better than the colts on every single occasion. And even if we go back to some races that were held in January, it was similar. So, look, I really find it hard to come into any of the colts of this race. I'm sort of on the filly side. So, you know, if the track's heavy, it really does raise a query over Coolangatta and Russian Conquest. So I'm probably She's Extreme and Gary Cortelli's filly Fireburn.
Yeah.
And against the colts, and also against any of the form coming from Victoria. Since 2005, there's been 42 Golden Slipper runners come off a last start run in Victoria and not one of them has won and 35 have been unplaced. So it does sort of prove that, well, whether it proves or not, the history shows that, you know, it has sort of proven difficult to either come off a blue diamond run or another run and also peak and measure up in a Golden Slipper. Maybe this year's a little bit different because it is weaker than normal, but we have to sort of position somewhere. So, yeah, I'm against the colts from Sydney. I'm against the Melbourne form and just siding with those fillies.
Well, I think it might be the way to go. And the market for those will probably firm if the weather continues to deteriorate in Sydney. Always fascinating to get your thoughts. Appreciate your time. And we'll catch up post the weekend to see how these races actually perform from a ratings point of view. So appreciate your time, Daniel.
No problem. Cheers.